Good morning, everyone. We are in Romans chapter 5 this morning, and what a chapter it is. We ended chapter 4 of Romans realizing that we have been brought into the family of God through Abraham's family, through faith, and that as a result of Abraham believing and being made righteous through faith, now all who believe in Jesus have been made part of the family of God and have also been made right by faith. It begins chapter 5 in this way. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop there. That's a really marvelous verse. So we've been justified, meaning God has placed us in a position where he says, you're good with me. You are right with me. What a blessing that is, isn't it? I mean, and as a result of being right with him, that we have peace with God. Like between God and us, there's peace because of what Jesus did to take the sin. God is holy. God is holy. God is good. God is just. And, you know, mankind, if you think about the Old Testament for a moment, there was always a separation between God and his people in the sense that, you know, there was a tabernacle with a fence-like structure and a common Israelite couldn't come inside that tent. Only the priest could come inside the fenced area. And then there was the tabernacle, as you're aware. And, you know, the priest could go into the first chamber of the tent of the tabernacle, but only the high priest on the Day of Atonement. So there was always like a separation, or even like, you know, when the Israelites were in the desert and you know, God met Moses up on the mountain, but no one was supposed to go near the mountain. They had to stay down at the base of the mountain. You know, there was a separation. And that's because people are unholy and God is holy. And God can't be in the midst of unholiness. But it's incredible now that because of what Christ did to justify us or make us right, that now we have peace with God. We're good in our relationship with God because of the fact that we've been forgiven. In fact, now because of the peace that we have with God, God has been able to come so near that he actually literally lives inside of believers. He gives his Holy Spirit to dwell as a tabernacle inside those who believe. And it began because the enmity that was in the way between us and God was removed, and we now have peace with God. Oh, it's a glorious thing to know that we have peace with him, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. The grace of God is really an important and magnificent thing. I think many times we shortchange because we're in this grace which we stand. We stand in grace. And it, you know, there are some words that just don't translate well in English. And grace is one of those words where it's got such a rich meaning that one word doesn't capture it all. And it means that we have the favor of God. God is for us. We have the mercy of God. God, because of the blood shed of Jesus, he's given us mercy. He's given us forgiveness. That's part of God's grace that he's given. But he's also given us gifts and power. And we have a unique and special power from God. We have gifts from God to serve his kingdom. You know, when you see someone ministering unto God or even serving God in any capacity, and they're doing it with with joy, and they're doing it with God's strength, we could say the grace of God is upon him, or the grace of God is upon her, because grace means the power of God at work in us. It may be at work in us to forgive those who are hard to forgive, or to love those who are hard to love, or to serve of ourselves, even though we still have a flesh nature. God's grace overpowers us and helps us to embody who he is in this world. It's a special power that we have. And we stand in that grace, that forgiveness, all of that. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. You know, one day we're going to be with our Lord And we have great things to look forward to, even when this life is over. So we live in hope today. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I was commenting on that Holy Spirit just a little while ago, that because we have peace with God, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Notice that it says poured out. It's been poured out. You know, one of the lies that the Christian church sometimes believes that it needs to rid ourselves from is that when you became born again and God poured out his Holy Spirit, he didn't just give you a teaspoon. The word there, poured out, is it's like there was a vase, like an alabaster jar of oil, and it was broke, so all the oil poured out. And we just need to embrace the fact that God in his grace poured out his Holy Spirit into us. He's given us all of it, and we just need to believe it. You know, one of the things that A.W. Tozer talked about regarding the Holy Spirit is he's like, sometimes it's just been snowed under, and you know, I'm looking at green grass in this season of the year right now, but you know, come middle of winter, I might not see anything green, you know, as far as the grass anyways, but it's still there. It's just become snowed under. And unfortunately, sometimes the Holy Spirit to the church has become snowed under. We know it's there, but we're not really experiencing it the way that we should. And, you know, Tozer made it really simple. And he was a guy, a Chicago preacher from the, I think, the mid-1900s. Anyways, he made it really simple, and I agree with him. He just said, you know what the key to sensing and living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit that's been poured out is to believe it's been poured out. To believe it. Believe that God has given you the fullness. And hallelujah, believe that, and God will be at work with you. And then remember that, you know, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. And that's what, when you have that and you have the hope of heaven and you have God's Holy Spirit in you, that's what allows us to exalt in our tribulations, knowing that even the difficult things that we face, God is still there with us. And it brings about perseverance, and perseverance, character, and proven character, hope. Hallelujah. When we sense the poured out Holy Spirit in us and with us, even when we're going through hard times, God gives us hope, and hallelujah that we have that. May you never forget God on the mountains or in the valleys. He is with you. Just hang on, because it's likely to get better here on earth when you're following God. You won't stay in that season of sorrow forever. He will lift you up and lift you out, but ultimately, he's going to lift us out and lift us up to a new place to be with him in heaven. And no matter what's going on earth, praise God that we have that hope, and that hope will not disappoint. Verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. It's so important to realize, you know, we didn't have anything to do with it. Christ died for us before we were born. Even when we were ungodly and grew up maybe not believing or living our own way, he still died for you. And you know what? Even if you have turned away and you're living an ungodly life right now, Christ died for you. He wants you to recognize him as your Lord and Savior, and he can wash your sin away, and he can give you a new life in him, and he can give you purpose. Hallelujah. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, but though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But here's such a great verse. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to get our lives right to come to God. We come to God and He helps us get our lives right. He died for us. And He wants you to embrace Him. What's needed is not that you've lived perfectly, but that you want to recognize Him as Lord and that you do want to repent. You're in a position where you say, I've had enough and I believe in Jesus and I want to follow Him now. And He died for you right in the midst of your own ungodliness. And that's great love. You know, hallelujah. Give your life to Jesus so that you can get the Holy Spirit poured out into you so that He can strengthen you to live a new life in Him. You got to come to Him first. Hallelujah. Much more than having now been justified by His blood. You know, there was always a blood sacrifice in order for there to be forgiveness. You know, there was blood on the first Passover when, you know, God's spirit of destruction came over Egypt and the firstborn of Egypt lost their lives, but all the Israelites were saved because they had the blood of the Lamb over their doorpost. And then there was blood at the tabernacle. When people would bring their sacrifices and bring their lamb, the animal's blood had to be shed in order for there to be atonement. And now we've been justified by His blood, by the blood of Jesus, because He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But you got to believe in Him. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. And this is something that's been taught throughout this book. And there is a wrath of God. And, you know, a lot of people want to sugarcoat things and just make it seem like God is love. That's all He is. He's only love all the time. When they don't realize that apart from the sacrifice of Jesus and faith in Him, there is going to be justice due sin. And either Jesus can take the justice or we will. Meaning we will either pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from our Lord forever because we're denying the one that He sent to die for us. Or we can believe in Jesus, and He essentially then takes our wrath. The wrath that would be on us because of our disobedience and our sinfulness gets placed on His Son. Hallelujah. And God designed it that way. What a wonderful love that is, that He would allow His Son to take our wrath so that we could be made the righteousness of God. For if, verse 10, while we were enemies, see, we were enemies of God when we haven't accepted Jesus. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And we're promised eternal life. Those who have believed in Jesus, we're going to be saved by His life. One day, you know, we're going to go from this life to being home with our Lord in heaven. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the reconciliation. And that's such a beautiful word, reconciliation. You know, if you think about what that means, it means two things were apart and something was done to restore or bring two things back together. You know, picture a husband and wife who are maybe separated. They're not living together, but they're husband and wife. And then they learn to forgive and to come back together. And Lord willing, with God's help, they have a sweet, beautifully restored marriage, and now they're reconciled, they're back together again. And what Jesus Christ did is He came to take what was in the way of our peace with God, and He helped reconcile us and bring us back into a relationship with God because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. It's a sweet reconciliation too. Therefore, and this is a really important understanding what we're about to get into here. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. What is going to begin to be relayed to us is that Adam and Eve sinned in this beautiful garden that God had created, and as a result, they were kicked out of the garden. And most commentaries believe, you know what, Adam and Eve wouldn't even had to die if they wouldn't have did that sin. But as a result of what they did, they got kicked out of the garden and now they had to face death. And God was with them in the garden, by the way. They had the proximity of God in their midst. And that removed God because of their sin. They got removed to this from this beautiful place where God was. And so man had been separated from God and And now, because we are part of that race, we are part of, you know, we were created human, male and female, like God created us. We've inherited the sin problem that Adam and Eve brought into the world. And that happened before the law. See, it's going to say here, well before the law. So we're going to see in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And basically, what he's trying to say is the law which came later, which gave us all the guidance and rules of the Old Testament, mankind didn't know entirely what all of sin was until there was a law, because the law of God, the commandments of God in the Old Testament let us know we were sinful. But Adam and Eve, they knew one law. They knew they weren't supposed to eat of that tree. God told them specifically, and they did it anyways. So their sin came into the human race. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you have been with us in this journey, we're in Romans 5, but in the first 2.5 chapters of Romans, Paul was making the case that we've been all caught up into the net of sin. And now he's telling you why we've all been caught up into the net of sin and why we need a solution in Jesus, because we're all part of this human race and we all have this sin problem that we inherited from our forefather Adam. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. So we were all guilty anyways, even though the law didn't exist until Moses' day, because we sinned in the likeness, because we inherited the sin problem of Adam. Now, what's going to happen here is that Adam is actually an example or a type of one who is to come. And what we're going to learn in a moment is Jesus is what's called an antitype. A type is like when something is similar to something else. When someone is an example of what later in history of what someone was before. But there's also what's called an antitype, where there's someone in history before, and now there's someone in history that's coming in the future, and it's the actual opposite of the first type, if that makes sense. So we're going to learn what that is in a moment. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, now he's talking about Adam, the many died, meaning we all inherited this sin problem through Adam, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man Jesus abound to the many. See, Jesus is the antitype of Adam. And just as Adam sinned and it brought sin and condemnation to all, Jesus is the opposite type, where because of the one man Jesus who came to die for us, any who believe in him can now be forgiven. So as Adam brought sin into the world, Jesus brought grace, mercy, and forgiveness into the world. Hallelujah. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose from the one transgression, resulting in condemnation. That's really that's separation from God. That's the wrath of God. Through Adam, that's what we received. But on the other hand, the free gift, Jesus, who came and died before we were ever born, arose from the many transgressions, resulting in justification. So just as we were all caught up in the net of sin because we inherited it from our forefather Adam, in the same way, Jesus died and he can give the gift of forgiveness to all who believe, and then they can be justified or made right. Verse 17, for if by the transgression of the one, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So just as we are all caught up in the net because of Adam's sin, we all can receive the gift of God and the grace of God and the righteousness of God and the forgiveness of God through the one whom God sent, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Verse 18, so then, as through one transgression, Adam and Eve, there resulted in condemnation to all men. This is why you and I are all caught up into the net of sin until we come to Jesus, because through Adam's sin, there resulted in condemnation to all men. Even so, through the one act of righteousness, Jesus Christ coming, living as the perfect man, dying as the Lamb of God, there resulted justification of life to all men. Now, what Jesus did, he died so that all men could be forgiven, but not all men are forgiven, because you've got to receive that gift through faith. Jesus died for you, but you have to credit it to your account through faith. You got to believe. That's why, just as Abraham believed and it was accredited to him as righteousness, it's important that you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and place your faith in him. And I would say, and the Bible does, get baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that way you receive justification. That way you are made right by God. Verse 19, for as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. The law came in, which came in much later after Adam, so that the transgression would increase, meaning so that people could see how sinful they were. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone, how much you've sinned and fall short of the glory of God in your life. If you just but turn to Jesus, you can be forgiven of it all. Hallelujah. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus brings grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. I pray that any here listening now or in the future, that you would come to believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that you'd be saved from all of your sin, that you'd be forgiven, that you'd be justified, made right, and that you would know that you have peace with God and that you have the promise of eternal life. We've all been caught up into the net of sin, but God sent a Savior to rescue us all. Hallelujah. Place your faith in Jesus.